This is Franchise Today, brought to you by FRM Solutions, providers of the best-in-class software solutions for franchise relationship management. Franchise Today is your destination for weekly information, conversations, and interviews with accomplished industry leaders, all of whom share best practices for sustainable growth and sensible franchising. Here now, your host, Stan Friedman, to kick off this week's podcast.
Today is Wednesday, September 13th. 2023. I'm Stan Friedman, and this is Franchise Today. Well, I took a break last week to travel and make my long overdue pilgrimage to Buffalo, New York for the National Buffalo Wing Festival, and to finally claim my own trophy and induction into the Hall of Flame by festival founder and close personal friend, the Wing King himself, Drew Cerza. Since 2006, I have chaired the Hall of Flame and usually make these inductions myself to those who have taken credit in some way, shape, or form for helping to move the chicken wing from the trash can, where it always used to go, to the center of the plate as the now highly acclaimed global delicacy that wings have become over the course of the past 20 or so years. It was great hanging with my brothers and sisters of the wing world, judging competitions with fellow judge and Buffalo Wild Wings founder Scott Lowry, and hanging out on the turf at Highmark Stadium, home of the Buffalo Bills. That, in and of itself, is something of an incredible treat. Then, of course, came the U.S. Competitive Wing Eating Championships, which took a surprising turn this year when Joey Jaws Chestnut dropped to second place yet again, but this time behind Australian newcomer James Webb, who made his way to Buffalo for the very first time, and not just to win, but to actually break the world record by eating 276 wings in 12 minutes. Chestnut fell in some three dozen wings behind at 240, and Mickey Sudo, two-time champion, came in third this year at 231. Well, switching gears, coming up today, I have the pleasure of introducing you to one of the good guys I've come to know over the years at IFA conventions, MFV expos, and on the franchise circuit at large. In fact, in his heyday years before selling to private equity, while still at the helm as CEO and founder of I9 Sports, I had the good fortune to work with Frank Fiume as a consultant and came within inches of actually being hired by him full-time. Those were some fun years, and we'll unpack all of that in our conversation today. So don't go anywhere. I'm coming back in 2 minutes or less when I'll be joined by Frank Fiume, founder of I9 Sports and now podcaster of Emerging Franchise Brands.
Franchise Today will be right back, but first a word from our sponsors.
Franchisors of restaurants, bars, and grills, and multi-unit franchisees, listen up. This message is for you. If you're looking to engage guests, elevate profits, and enhance your customer experience, Atmosphere TV is the answer. What's Atmosphere, you ask? Atmosphere is the world's number one streaming TV service for businesses, here to help you make more and save big on overpriced cable packages. Atmosphere provides you with a free programming option, bringing more than 60 ultra-engaging audio-optional channels designed to please customers and increase their average ticket. So, how does it work? Well, it's easy. Upon sign-on, Atmosphere sends you a free device loaded with over 60 channels of eye-grabbing entertainment. From news and sports to viral videos and fuzzy animals, every channel is family-friendly and designed to keep your customers happy and engaged. Plus, thanks to Atmosphere's 100% audio-optional format, the programming is perfect for any setting, no matter how loud or busy. So, stop playing and paying overpriced cable. Go with free TV instead. Just go to atmosphere.tv/signup and use the code FRANCHISE, and Atmosphere will waive the usual one-time $99 activation fee for your free-to-stream device. Visit Atmosphere online at atmosphere.tv, and remember, use the code FRANCHISE to waive your one-time activation fee. Visit atmosphere.tv to elevate your franchise's entertainment experience today. Frank Fiume is a pioneer in the youth sports industry and the founder of I9 Sports, the nation's first and leading franchisor of youth leagues and camps. Since 2003, I9 has generated over $300 million, with more than 2 million participants in 900 communities across 30 states nationwide. A baseball fanatic and native of Queens, New York, Frank graduated from St. John's University and began a career as a medical equipment sales rep, though he was determined to pursue his life's true purpose. So, in 1995, Frank created his own adult men's softball league, ABA Sports. The startup company quickly grew to over 900 teams in just 6 years, making it the largest sports organization on Long Island. In 2003, Frank sold ABA in order to create I-9 Sports, a business that catapulted him to national recognition and that Entrepreneur magazine ranked as the number one children's fitness franchise. Frank has been featured on Fox Business, HBO Real Sports, and in dozens of publications and national news media outlets, including USA Today, Sports Illustrated, and The Wall Street Journal. In 2017, Frank sold I-9 to a private equity firm, but like any other founder, still feels a great affinity for the brand and is extremely passionate about helping other emerging franchisors find their way as they take their similar journeys. Frank Fiume, welcome to Franchise Today.
Hey, Stan, how are you? Thanks for having me.
I'm doing great, Frank, and it's fun having you here. Always fun talking with you and looking forward to sharing some things today that maybe the audience didn't know, like who's Frank Fiume anyway? Well, Frank, let's teach them a little bit about who you are by doing what we do at the onset of every interview on Franchise Today, and that's backing up to when it was that franchising tapped you on the shoulder and woke you up to a way of doing business that you didn't really prepare for initially. How did franchising find you, Frank?
Well, Stan, you hit the nail right on the head. Franchising definitely found me. I didn't go to school for it. What I did go to school for was business management. And I ended up working in medical sales outside right after I graduated. And it just did not fulfill me at all. I started running an adult men's softball league, believe it or not, in Long Island in the mid-90s. And I did it just as a kind of a side hustle. And as it turns out, it was a legitimate business that I kind of stumbled upon where the other league owners, the people running sports leagues that had privatized it, had done a pretty poor job. So I started growing my adult men's softball league. And before you know it, I had, gosh, I think at the time I probably had about 700-800 teams. And then my wife and I, after we got married in 95, we moved to Florida. Actually, moved to Tampa in 96. And it turns out that the NFL had just announced that they were going to launch this thing called NFL flag football as a way of promoting the game of football throughout the country. And I thought, oh man, I think we're really onto something here. I've got to try it. I knew nothing about kids sports at all. It was before our kids were born. And so I hopped all over that and I started running a kids flag football league in Tampa. I had my adult men's softball league in New York. I had 1,000 probably plus teams in Long Island. I had probably close to 800 kids playing in Tampa. And I thought to myself, how in the world am I going to grow this thing? I don't think I was even 30 years old at the time. And I was intimidated to hire people around the country. So I did what many of us did back in the 90s. We buy Entrepreneur magazine, you flip the back pages, and you see the different, not only the different opportunities out there, but there was these franchise conferences that these different consultants had that sort of like their own version of Discovery Day. And so I just became a student of the industry, Stan. I learned as much as I could about franchising, and I thought, this has got to be the way to do it. I get to grow faster using other people's money, and both of those things were key for me. I didn't have a whole lot of money, and speed was critical because I felt like other people were going to do this, and I wanted to be first to market.
Now, what year are we in when you're doing this?
Let's see. In 2001 is when I made the decision that I'm going to franchise. It was probably about 1999 to 2000 in that range where I was really just learning as much as I could. And then in 2001, going forward with iFranchise Group, and Mark Siebert and the guys did a tremendous job of helping me franchise my concept in 2003. And that's when I-9 Sports launched.
All right. It's about time we called out the name I-9 Sports. And and that company has just completed its, 20th anniversary, and it's been a storied ride. But we're going to break down all of that along the way. We don't want to get the cart too far ahead of the horse. But why don't we start with the name itself, Frank? How did that I-9 name transpire? What inspired that?
Well, Stan, what inspired it is we couldn't come up with a good enough name that we all agreed on. And we would line all the walls in the office with those giant 3M post-it notes, the giant sheets of paper. Mm-hmm. And we would write down all these names that we wanted our company name to be. And the problem was that we were coming up with names that were so generic. Things like, I don't know, Grand Slam Sports. And one point I came up with a company called X Factor Sports. This is back in 2001. And then it occurred to me that, of course, none of us in the office were going to, A, we were going to agree. And B, the other thing that I had learned through my franchise attorney was it's not just trademarking a name that's important. It's protecting the name that's important. And with that said, I decided that I wanted to come up with something unique, something that was going to be different, that was going to be very easy to protect because of its uniqueness, even though it was going to be more difficult to market. Obviously, that's the challenge when you come up with a name that doesn't describe what you're doing. And there was one late night, Nadine and the kids are sleeping, and I just went in my office and I just started writing down words that I wanted my company to be symbolic, that were symbolic of my company, what I thought was what my company was going to be about. And it kind of occurred to me, it jumped out at me. I had a bunch of these I words written down. And this is before the iPod, by the way, when we came up with the name. And so it wasn't, it was not being inspired by Apple, but I thought I to the ninth power when I saw these nine I words jump off the page. It just felt right. So that's how I9 Sports came to be.
Do you have committed to memory what those nine I's are?
Oh gosh, we can try. It's innovative, integrity driven, impassioned, inspirational, insightful. What else did I forget here? I got like five in here. That's probably all
that's
I
not
do
a
right
bad,
now on the spot.
Not a bad go. So Frank, it was probably around 2009 or maybe 2010 when your life and mine connected. And as I recall, I got a call to have a conversation with you and with Brian Sanders to help you guys implement a franchise development program using Process Peak, which I don't think is out there anymore. But how ironic that I get retained as a consultant to I9 Sports big guy Frank Fiume, who I've seen at conventions and IFA events all over the place. Loved what you did, loved your energy, loved what you were all about. And I wind up helping you put together Process Peak to then a little bit later become a partner in FRM Solutions doing.
That's amazing.
Who knew?
Right. That's franchising, right? That's how it's incredible how small the community is. As big as this network seems to be with the amount of companies, it is super small.
People talk about the 3 degrees of separation. And in franchising, I say, you got to put a decimal point in front of that.
Yes. Yes, for sure.
So talk about the early stage growth years of I9, and it was more than flag football. Now, you added a lot of sports to that package, didn't you?
Yeah, well, what was really interesting is that when we first franchised I9 Sports, we were actually adult and youth sports, because the truth is, I made almost all of my money in adult men's softball. The youth flag football was really a very small part of it. And I knew exactly how to grow an adult men's softball league since I had done it throughout New York. I had very limited experience with my kids' flag football league. Yet when we franchised, here's what we turned out to be. As well as our systems and processes were in place, we knew how to market. Stan, my adult sports franchises that I sold to were not replicating the success I had in New York. And it was kind of devastating to me. I was stunned. I did not expect it. My franchisees were following what I was doing. I worked closely with them, but we were not getting the same success. On the flip side, the kids flag football leagues, and then we introduced soccer and introduced basketball. Those were doing pretty well. The big problem we had, Stan, as many franchises we were selling, because we kind of hit the ground running hard. I mean, we weren't having a problem selling franchises. It was easy to sell the dream. The challenge was that our brand itself was so diluted, because what the hell is an I9 Sports if you have adults playing and kids playing? Because the marketing message is highly diluted. And the difficult decision we made was to drop adult sports. Then we gave our adult sports franchisees the option to switch to youth sports, or they can stick it out on their own if they wanted to go solo. Most of them switched over. And once we switched over to just strictly youth sports, things exploded for us, because now we knew exactly who our target audience was. Mom was, for the most part, our customer. She was registering the kids. We knew to market to the moms and dads when it came to coaching, and off we went.
And what year would that be?
That was from 2006 on. So yeah, January 2006 was around the time when we made the decision.
And then how did you go about the decision to start adding different sports to the I9 offerings?
Yeah, so you know, the big problem we made, the big mistake we made when we first franchised is, as a franchisor, I want my franchisees to be successful, right? And I will do anything for them to be successful, But the issue was I didn't know what I didn't know. And Stan, I'd have somebody call me and say, hey, I know ice hockey. I'm up in Michigan and I know how to run an ice hockey league. And did I tell them no? I added ice hockey to their franchise agreement. And somebody else had a background in wrestling and somebody had a background in golf. And it was an absolute disaster. So we had to rein everybody in and said, you know what? We need to get really good about our programming. We need to get really, really sharp about our marketing message and how we are positioning ourselves. So we ended up narrowing it down just to flag football, soccer, and basketball. And then it was a few years later where we introduced T-ball. And then we've added since then, volleyball has been added and lacrosse has been added as well. But we knew we had to be really, really good at the foundation of flag football, soccer, and basketball. Oh, and one more thing. The real reason why we expanded sports, Stan, is that I feared that if we did not act in expanding sports, we were going to be quickly perceived as a flag football company. And I thought that was super dangerous for us to do that. So that's why we started expanding sports to the kind of those core three of soccer, flag, and basketball.
So Frank, how many units did you grow to before you started to get the sweats that emerging franchisors get when they start to wonder if they've outgrown their skis and their business is getting bigger than they can manage or handle? Because I remember that you were in some of that mode early days, but how far did it go before you started to break out into those kind of cold sweat moments?
Well, let's just say, put it this way, we almost went bankrupt within the first 2 years because we blew through so much money. We got past that, though. We got past it because we redeveloped our marketing. Brian Sanders helped. He came in as a marketing consultant and kind of crystallized our marketing plan and what the I-9 experience was about while I worked in the training and the support and operations, and technology was always my thing. But I'll tell you what, Stan, it was in 2008 when somebody introduced me to the E-Myth Revisited by Michael Gerber. I know you know Michael well. And when I read the book, it resonated with me so much because I kid you not, page 52 is circled in the book and it's written in the margin. I wrote June 2008 in the margin of the book because there's a quote in there that Michael references. And it says when, I'm going to just paraphrase, but it says something along the lines of when the business grows out beyond the control of the owner, he or she has basically three options: return back to infancy. The second one is just try to grow as fast as possible. And the third one is to hang on for dear life and create those systems and processes. Mm-hmm. And of course, I knew to choose number three. But it was at that moment, around that time, where I was fascinated with this book because when I was reading about the main character, Sarah, who ran this bakery, so much of her story was exactly what I had experienced. And yet I couldn't wait to turn the page of this book to see where my life was going to go. So it was around that point in time where I was kind of beyond my skis and I got in front of my skis and I knew that I needed to bring on a COO and president. And that's when I got reconnected with Brian. And Brian's been really leading the day-to-day of the company ever since.
So let's put a ribbon on the first half of our conversation as we head into a break with a little bit conversation about where I-9 Sports is today, the exciting experience that you just had participating in its 20th anniversary, because it's no longer your company, right? You sold your company and big, big things have occurred in the lives of the people who bought it, and big things are happening in your world, and we're going to talk about those in part two. But just give us a little synopsis of where you left and what's happened since to I-9 Sports.
Well, it occurred to me around 2016 that I thought, you know what? I think the company has outgrown my desire to want to be able leading it anymore. I felt like we grew apart. Got to the point where, truthfully, as much as I love the company, I love it to this day, I felt like my dream was already met. My dream had been fulfilled. And as much as it hurt, I felt like that it was best that we go separate ways because my mission was complete. And I think that we're motivated by all different things. I've always been motivated by growing and contributing. And the fact is that I had a great management team that was doing everything. They were running the company. And I personally wasn't growing. And I didn't feel like I was contributing much. And heck, I was just too young to feel like I'm not contributing anymore. So I thought it was at that point where I think we should go separate ways.
And so how did that look? What took place? What did you do?
Okay. So what took place was we did an ESOP. I sold the business to the employees through the employee stock ownership plan, which was so much fun because I got a chance to reward my employees with the company. And instead of paying, I deferred all my taxes to Uncle Sam by instead of doing this ESOP. So I initially did that. And then about 2 years later, I decided that I think time to move on. And we had a private equity liquidity event where my employees got paid out. I got paid for the most part, I thought had minority ownership. And then our private equity partner, LNC, decided it was time to sell. And we got acquired by Roark Capital in October 21. So since that time, and up until that time, I was on the board of directors and still involved in a very kind of a distant strategic position. But yeah, since October 21, when Roark acquired us, it's been a hell of a wild ride.
Oh, it's just amazing. It's a great story. I mean, it's an inspiring story. And I'm hoping that the emerging franchisors and this audience will benefit from your candor and your frankness. And we're going to come back on the other side of a break and we're going to talk about the second half of your life. What does Frank Fiume do next? And literally, it's all about emerging franchise brands, isn't it, Frank?
Yes, it is.
This is Franchise Today. I'm Stan Friedman. Frank Fiume, founder of I-9 Sports, is my guest. We're going to take a quick break and come back and tell you more. Don't go away.
Franchise Today will be right back, but first, a word from our sponsors.
In today's world, for sustainable growth, franchisors must apply systems that manage and support all aspects of franchise development, from getting units open and operating to supporting operations in the field, managing legal and compliance, royalty management, and franchisee location and ownership information and records management, sometimes across multiple brands. And they must be able to report on all that data on demand. And are you confident that your current tools are delivering that to you today, much less achieving it to your satisfaction? Well, time to say hello to FRM Solutions, because FRM does all that and more. With open APIs, associated data can be pushed or pulled from anywhere to FRM. That's why franchise administrators, legal teams, and franchise executives at some of America's largest and multi-branded portfolio companies rely upon FRM Solutions as their single source of truth. And if that's not enough, FRM can identify single or multi-unit franchisee records across multiple brands within your portfolio of concepts, delivering you the power of one, the one and only tool for seamless multi-brand franchise relationship management. And that power of one applies too if you're an established and fast-growing single concept franchise. In either case, FRM scales with your company and helps you grow your business. Forget about building a custom system and say good riddance to inflexible products. FRM is customizable and upgrades are included. It even integrates with Outlook, Gmail, and text messaging, making it fully functional within your native environments. It's time to simplify your life and compound your success. Do it today with the power of one, and that one is FRM Solutions. Find them online at frmsolutions.com. and order up a demo today. And the conversation continues today with Frank Fiume, founder of I-9 Sports, and now the host and producer of Emerging Franchise Brands, the podcast. And Frank, we're going to talk some about the withdrawal that you went through post-exit, which is, I guess, the closest thing that anyone can equate that to if they're not a business owner or a founder, is maybe being the father of the bride who has to pass his daughter to another man. I'm sure every father of every bride has gone through a similar emotion that a successful founder of a business has felt when, yeah, the greatness of the liquidity event put a lot of money in the bank, but oh my God, my heart hurts. Talk to us about that.
It did, and I don't expect people to have sympathy, and that's probably one of the hardest things that people don't talk about or can't, that they can talk about. But the truth is that I didn't start I-9 Sports for the money. That was never the intention. I did it because I was freaking passionate about sports and I wanted to create something and make an impact. But when we got to the point where I felt like, you know, I think the company has, I'm growing and the company's growing in two different ways that I think it's time for me to move on. You know, when the zeros first hit your bank account, of course it feels good because you're going through such a process to get to the finish line, right, of getting the company acquired. That whole process is not easy. So when it's done, you're kind of exhausted. You feel great. It's over. You look at the bank account. You know, you have those moments. And then about 2 weeks later, I was just like, okay, well, now what? I didn't leave to do something else. That was not my intention. I was leaving because it was time to move on, as I said. But there is a normal grieving process when it's your baby and you want to see it grow. You want to see it thrive. But I went through the entire grieving process you would, like you would in any death. And it was during that time of sort of darkness, I would say, I felt blue. I tried to keep myself busy. I started writing a book and I wrote my first book, which I published in October 2019, which felt like it was a great way of tying a bow around things because I got a chance to write my journey. Again, back to the impact that the E-Myth Revisited had on me because of the way Michael wrote that book in a more of a story form. I wanted to write my book in more of a story form because there's so many business books out there that are written by business experts. And I just didn't want to write another business format book. So I thought that was going to fulfill me. So I wrote this book, I publish it, I do a little bit of speaking. And then before you know it, COVID hits. So everything kind of went on hold. And then before you know it, time kind of went by. And I don't know, it's kind of weird. I've said this, you know, that analogy of the frog that's in boiling water when you kind of warm up the water slowly, doesn't realize it's being boiled.
Yeah, sure.
I think that kind of happened to me where I never said the word retired. I did not intend on retiring. That was not my intention. But it's almost like the longer that COVID went, the desire for me to do something new started waning to the point where I'll tell you, I got intimidated about a year ago, a little more than a year ago, where I had this realization that I said, geez, maybe I can't start anything new because my internal dialogue was this. I'm just being honest, Stan. My internal dialogue was, I will never create something as great as I-9 Sports. It was too massive to ever think I could ever redo that. And I think I just started feeling almost like, not like I was giving up, but feeling like, you know, maybe that's what all my life was about. Maybe that was my legacy only. And it wasn't until a little less than a year ago when I started playing softball again. And I think it's very interesting how baseball has always kind of given me another, I don't know, shot in life. Just like I started my softball league, started by playing softball. I started playing softball again and I felt alive. I felt like my old self. I felt like I wanted to do something meaningful again. And I thought about what really gives me passion. What do I feel? What makes me feel fulfilled? What was the happiest time in my life? And staying the happiest time in my life from a professional standpoint was that emerging time period. It wasn't when we were north of 100 units. It's when we were grinding, when we were growing, when we had fires to put out. And it was exhilarating and it was scary as hell, but it was that emerging period that was just, it lit me up. And hence, that's what has brought me to this next stage in my life.
And we're going to talk about that right after I give this book of yours a shameless plug. The book is Running With My Head Down, An Entrepreneur's Story of Passion, Perseverance, and Purpose. And I encourage everyone in the emerging franchise audience to pick that up at Amazon today. Now, Frank, let's talk about the new podcast and how you are once again fulfilling that hole that fills the space that you didn't think you could ever reclaim. But you're fired up with passion again, and you're podcasting and improving the lives of an audience of some of the loneliest people on the planet, aren't you?
It is a very lonely job, right? It's an entrepreneur. Stan, I have not been this passionate, excited about business since about 2011. That was kind of like my peak at I-9 Sports. Like we were just humming on all cylinders. I just felt I was contributing involved so much. And the opportunity where I get to interview emerging franchisors, founders that were where I was, as well as interviewing franchise industry experts to talk about, we talk about the elusive with the experts. It's how do those franchisors get past that elusive 100 units? And with the founders, we talk about their business, how not only how they got started, what their vision is, what are their challenges, what's going well, what makes them different. And we just have I think it's a different kind of podcast. I want it to be more casual, founder. And truthfully, aside from your podcast, I really don't listen to many podcasts at all. I felt like when I would listen to other podcasts, it was starting to get in my head. Like, I can't listen to these because it's going to change the way I do my podcast. So I just want to be me. And I'm having a great time. I'm an amateur in the podcast world here, but I love what I do. And it's given me a new lease on life.
Well, I'm proud to say that I was included in the guest roster on some of of those early episodes. Can't wait for mine to air. You're going to really just take this thing and blow it out. I know you are, Frank. Second to money, the most important thing you bring to the business, no matter what the business is passion. And when you've got as much passion as you do for the space of emerging franchisors, you're paying it forward like we're doing with Zor Forum. And literally, you and I need to get together and figure out how to make those two make more sense.
Oh, yeah. This is so much fun because it's a space where these founders that I'm talking with, they have that eye of the tiger. They have so much spark and so much spunk, and there's so much there and so much fire. And to be able to have that come through in an interview is just, it's electric. It fires me up when I get done with these podcasts. Nobody knows about this. I don't know when we're going to air this podcast, but our episode here, but my first episode does not air until September 4th. So of course, although I have an audience of zero as of the time that we're recording this show, I will tell you that I have already, between the people I've interviewed and the guests I've coming up, it's over 45 guests already. I am super excited because it's catching fire just within my little community and network.
Where is it going to be hosted, Frank? How will people find it, and what's it called?
Well, it's called the Emerging Franchise Brands Podcast, and it can be found on all the major platforms. So Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and we are also on video. So it will be on YouTube as well. And we're going to be airing episodes every Monday and Thursday. And that's going to start again on Monday, September 4th is when the first one. In fact, I think I'm going to be putting three episodes out right on September 4th is how it's going to work. And then there'll be two a week that'll be aired.
So that's just a week away, and that's Labor Day, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, it's a labor of love for Frank Fiume, so it makes nothing but sense to me. Frank, what have I not asked you today that you wished I did?
Gosh, I think we kind of covered the gamut of I9 Sports. I would just say that when it comes to franchising, the one thing I would suggest is that for folks that are listening to this, we know that we don't go to school necessarily for franchising, but the greatest value I have got has been from talking to folks like you, Stan, and others at the IFA, at the different conferences. It is just an ability to learn from a fire hose, because this community that we're in franchising is so generous with information. And it's one of the things I do in my podcast. At the end of every episode, I call it the tip jar. And whether it's an emerging founder or it's a franchise expert, I ask them to share a piece of advice they would give to maybe an aspiring franchisor or somebody that's in the thick of it. And I just wanted to say that this is such a generous community that I was surprised that when I shared with folks such as yourself, Stan, that I was going to be launching this podcast, on how much you all embraced me and were excited to talk with me and have me on. And I feel like I've been under a rock for quite a number of years. So I'm kind of blown away, and I'm so grateful and honored to be embraced by the community once again.
How about some contact info, Frank, so that those waiting for the podcast's emergence can find you before then?
Sure. Well, they can go to our website. It's EFB Podcast, so Emerging Franchise Brands, EFBpodcast.com. They can also go to my website, which is frankfiume.com. That's F-I-U-M-E. And they can find me on LinkedIn. We're also on all the Emerging Franchise Brands is on all the social channels. The social channels are a little light right now, but we are slowly but surely building up posts. So I hope everybody listens in.
Well, Frank, this has been an absolute pleasure. Being reconnected and having you back in my life is an absolute pleasure. So the bonus of having you here on Franchise Today is just over the top for me. Thank you so much for being here and for sharing so much with our audience, which in large part consists of emerging franchisors.
Thank you so much, Dan. I appreciate it. Look forward to seeing you at an upcoming event.
Can't wait to see you too. Frank Fiume, host of Emerging Franchise Brands Podcast and founder of I9 Sports. Well, we close this week on a sad note, as we must report that the franchise world grieves the sudden and unexpected loss of franchising icon Mike Bidwell. Mike has led Neighborly and its concepts at every level. He was a successful and visionary franchisee and served as president for three Neighborly subsidiary franchise companies. In 2000, Neighborly named Mike chief operating officer, and in 2007, Mike was also named president. In January of 2014, he was named President and CEO. Our prayers and condolences go out to the Bidwell and Neighborly families as the entire franchise world mourns the loss of this iconic leader. Until next week, when we return to do it all again, I'm Stan Friedman, wishing you the best, the very best of all things franchising and Franchise Today is out.
Franchise Today is a production of FRM Solutions, providing best-in-class CRM tools to empower relationships with prospective and existing franchisees. No excuses, just solutions. Find them online at FRMSolutions.com. Join Stan every Wednesday at noon Eastern for another live episode of Franchise Today. Or, as always, download episodes on demand at BlogTalkRadio.com or iTunes.